Let us pray. Lord God, as we open your living word this morning, we pray that life will come to us from it. Bless us in the name of Jacob, your son, as we read his story from Genesis chapter 32. Amen. Now at night, Jacob got up, and he took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them across and left them there, and likewise all of his possessions. And Jacob was alone. And a man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint. And he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said to him, "I will not let you go, not unless you bless me." The man said, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he replied. The man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but now you shall be called Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans, and you have prevailed." Jacob said to him, "What is your name?" The man said, "Why do you ask my name?" And then and there, he blessed him. Jacob therefore named that place Peniel, which means vision of God or face of God. And Jacob passed from that place limping as he went along because of his hip. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. We're not usually this pointed and directed at Word for Children time, but we have Word for Children for Lily if you want it. She's already being taken care of. Okay. Well, Georgina's here, so if you want Georgina, actually maybe if you could just hang out back there and see if you're needed. That's great. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and from the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen, and thanks be to God. It's been about 20 years since Jacob found himself alone in the desert at night. 20 years prior to our reading this morning, Jacob stole his twin brother's birthright and blessing. And when his brother Esau heard of it, he vowed to rip Jacob limb from limb. And so their mother Rebekah made a way for Jacob and sent him in the direction of her brother Laban, who lived in Haran, which was at about 1,000 kilometers from where they were. Jacob fled, I say with nothing but the clothes on his back, because at the end of a very long day, he plopped down in the desert with nothing to put under his head, and so he rested his head on a rock. And there in the desert alone at night, some strange things happened. He dreamt of a ladder connecting heaven and earth, and angels ascending and descending from heaven, and he saw a vision of God who blessed him. I say it was really good that happened the first day of his journey, because he had over 900 kilometers to go. And with that sort of blessing, I'm sure he found strength and assurance for his journey. Well, here he is 20 years later. You know, Jacob's life is not a pretty one. It begins by clutching Esau's heel and stealing his birthright and blessing, and then it progresses to him being tricked by his uncle into marrying the wrong woman. he ends up with four wives instead of the one he loves. He ends up with her and three others because these sisters that he married end up in a birthing competition, and so they start using their maids, and it's just kind of a big mess. And he is living on his uncle's land, seemingly with no way to get out of it, and so he devises a plan for how to leave Laban's land, and what he decides to do is to breed the goats and the sheep so that they will be intentionally blemished. And so he causes a big fight to occur between him and Laban finally says, get out of here. And Jacob says, I have nothing. Laban, not knowing anything about what his flocks look like, says, well, you can go ahead and have all the animals that are blemished. And so Jacob has tricked him, and he leaves with quite a lot of wealth. Blemished means their coats are not pure white or pure black, but kind of mottled. But he has quite a few sheep and goats, and he decides to go from Haran, which is really far north. His brother is really far south, 1,000 kilometers in between them. He decides, you know what, I'll head in that direction. Esau will never know. There's 1,000 kilometers between us. This is me putting words in his mouth now. I'll go maybe halfway, far enough away from the uncle, far enough away from the brother. So he heads in that direction, but you know what happens? Esau finds out that he's coming. And Esau and Jacob sends people ahead, and they come back and say, no, he knows that you're coming, and he's coming. And he's got 400 men with him. What's Jacob got? A few servants, two wives, two handmaids, and a pack of children. Jacob now is not a very nice guy. He crosses the ford of the Jabbok. He puts his family in between him and Esau. He sends them across the river where Esau's coming, and then he goes back. That's this guy we're dealing with. He says, actually, he puts them in two camps, and his thinking is, well, if Esau attacks one, the other will have time to get away. And he crosses back over the river, and he's alone in the desert at night again. Well, strange things happen to Jacob in the desert alone at night. And this time, a man comes and wrestles with him and doesn't let him go. I think this is a lot like our lives, actually. Have you ever wrestled in the dark of your night, caught between a rock and a hard place? I mean, when we think of Jacob's story, we can think of it metaphorically. He's cheated, he's been cheated, and he's headed for trouble. He's got two unreconciled relationships on either side of him, and he can't sleep for wrestling with it. Ever been there? I hope not quite that bad. He wrestles with this being, and when the being, the man, says, figures out he's not going to beat Jacob, he strikes him on the hip and dislocates his hip. Have you ever had anything dislocated? Oh my gosh, when I was little, my shoulder used to pop out of joint, and I actually couldn't use my arm. I could use my hand like this, but my arm was dead to me. I can only imagine what it would be like to have your leg dislocated at the hip. The man says, let me go. And Jacob says, not unless you bless me. This is good news for us, although it doesn't seem that way. Because it's in our wrestling and in our struggles and in our trials and in the stuff that we don't want to have happen to us that we find God's blessing. Is there an amen to that? Do you know that? It's only in your struggles, in your hardships, in your trials, and in your wrestling that you find and develop your character. It's only in your struggles and your hardship and your trying and in your challenge that God's blessing is really manifest. I often say it's too bad that you really can't see me. You see someone standing in front of you, but you don't see my journey. You don't see my struggle and my hardship and the things that I've been through, and I don't see yours. But it's those things that make us. It's those things that rename us. It's those things that cause us to be something other than pampered and comfortable and living lives of luxury. It's in our hardship, in our struggle, in our trial, in our challenge that we actually become the people of God. In the story of Jacob, he actually wrestles with God in physical form. Jacob and a man wrestling in the night. I wish it were so for us that I could have somebody physical to wrestle with when I'm going through it. Don't you? It would make more sense to have the nearness of God wrestling with us. When Jacob wrestles, this God does a couple of things. You remember back when Jacob was in the desert the first time, laying with a rock under his head? He would have been laying, I imagine, on his back at least part of the time. And what would he see laying on his back? A full canopy of stars. Jacob lying on his back would remember that God said to his grandfather Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Jacob in his hardship would have fallen asleep staring at God's promise. Have you ever tried to sleep on your back all night? What happens? Eventually you have to turn over. Can you sleep on your stomach if your head's on a rock? Probably not. So imagine Jacob. He would have had to have woken up, I would imagine. Not too comfortable having your head on a rock, but he would have had to woken up and I would imagine rolled to his side, rolled to the other side, and with nothing to cover him, nothing below him, nothing on top of him, he would have been rolling around in dust. Have you ever breathed in dust? Oh my gosh. What a struggle and what a challenge. But in his dream, God comes to him and says, you see this dust that you're lying in? This dust that you're breathing in? This dust that's uncomfortable? I'm going to make your offspring like that. I'm going to cause a wind to blow and spread you and your offspring like this dust from the north and the south and the east and the west. So that as Jacob slept, he was either looking at the canopy of God's promise or he was breathing in God's promise. But all around was promise, promise, promise. And 20 years later, as he wrestles with this man in the dark, what do you think they're wrestling in? The dust of the promise. Same dust. I imagine Jacob being pinned with his face in the dust, being pinned on his back and seeing the stars of the promise. Over and over, the dust of the promise and the stars of the promise and the dust of the promise and the stars of the promise. And the man says, let me go for day is breaking. Jacob says, not unless you bless me. Because in every other time of hardship, there's been a blessing, and the dust of the promise and the stars of the promise remind me that I have a God of promise. So bless me. And a man changes his name. People of God, are you wrestling? Are you struggling? Do you have hardship? our God is a God of promise, who uses everything around us to remind us that we are blessed. Look over here. See this window? Based on Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Look over there. See this window? Psalm 23. See the shepherd's crook on the left, kind of abstractly? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. He leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. Look up there. See that cross? We have a God who takes instruments of torture and turns them into art. Any of you wearing a crucifix, a cross? God takes the things that trouble us and turns them into jewelry. In the middle of the night, Jacob wrestled. He said, change my name. Bless me. Make me different. I imagine in that time, give me courage to face my brother. Reconcile me with my uncle. Don't make me such a wimp to put the women in front of me. The man says, I'll no longer call you Jacob, but Israel, because you really, really wrestle with God. You wrestle with your relationships. And he sends Jacob from that place changed. What are you wrestling with? Maybe more importantly, who are you wrestling with? Because our wrestling changes our relationship with God. It changes us. And the God of the promise, who showed Jacob the stars and the dust, displays promise to you everywhere. Here in this building. Here in one another. Out there in the glory of creation. In the goodness people are doing in their lives. And what that man did for Jacob that night, God continues to do for us. There is a song underneath all of our lives. And it goes like this. I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely or afraid. I will change your name. Your new name shall be confidence, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face. I will change your name. Your new name shall be confidence, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God. You're one who seeks my face.